As we remain standing, let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, you are the light of the world. You came to take away the darkness of our lives, and your truth shines as revelation of your glory. Our hearts are transformed because of you, King of Kings, Prince of Peace, and Light of Hope. With grateful hearts, we thank you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. That's going to be in my, that tune is going to be in my head all day, I think. I just don't know the words, I just know the tune. The original Star Trek series, TV series, came out in 1966 during the Vietnam War. It was a science fiction vision of a future world without war, governed by a united Earth. Somehow, the world had figured out how to resolve conflicts without war, and in the year 2150, a united Earth came into being. Think about all the social conflicts the world was experiencing in the 1960s. Can you see how Star Trek's vision offered hope for our world in those days? The future wasn't just more of the same, never-ending wars, nation fighting against nation. It wasn't a future. It was a future that was always winter and never Christmas. A television show could possibly help us imagine a future without war. And if a TV show can do that, how much more can God's word spoken through the prophet Isaiah do? Isaiah was a man who lived with hope. The people of his time lived in constant fear of war, invasion, and captivity. It was a heavy militarized society. In Joel 3, 9 to 10, we read a well-known saying that served as a call to war to defend the country. Prepare war, stir up the warriors. Let all soldiers draw near, let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. But look, look at how Isaiah changed this call to war and spoke to his country a different message. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Isaiah had a vision of a world without war. He gave voice to one of the most profound hopes and dreams in all human history. Isaiah was a dreamer. And these hopes are not strange to us. They are as contemporary as the morning newspaper or the Facebook post. It is the hope of a world free from violence and oppression, free from hunger and poverty. And that's the kind of world you and I long for. Hope is essential for human beings, for if we lose hope, then we find ourselves not participating in life. Our outlook loses color and our spirits are sluggish. Without hope, we are unable to see the miracles of God around us that are happening all the time. And when our hopes are dashed, there is a climate of darkness and it seeps in to the nooks and crannies of daily living. It is vital for us to remain hopeful no matter what is going on in our lives. We put our hopes in all kinds of things. Wealth, power, medical treatments. But these may be insufficient. And I've found they can't be counted on. They may let us down. When hard times come crashing on our lives, when our circumstances come crashing about us, I have found only one reliable source of hope, Jesus Christ. The hope he provides, writes in Hebrews, is an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And when we call upon Jesus, Paul explains in Romans 13, 12, we can lay aside the works of darkness and put on that armor of light. It is no wonder that light therapy seems to push back the darkness and renew hope. You know, my dad was from Australia, and when I was a kid, he had one of those old sun lamps with those huge ultraviolet bad for you lamps on it, and he would sit every night under the sun lamp. And now I know, I think he probably suffered with depression coming from Australia, which was all sun, and then coming here. What? Oh yeah, right. You would know that, right? We never think about that. Well, no, we do, actually, because I think about it now. The longest day of the year has not yet come. But, you know, it's dark at 4:30. It is, Scripture links light and hope as the spiritual means to strengthen and keep us connected to God. And light is often used as a metaphor for God's power, presence, and promise. And light is the very first action that God takes in creation. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, but the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said what? Let there be light. And that same light culminates thousands of years later in Jesus Christ, whose life brought light to everyone. The light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. John 1. The light of Christ shatters our darkness and brings us Advent's big four: hope, peace, joy, and love. And this first Sunday in Advent, we express hope. Hope, knowing that the darkness of evil will never, ever, ever, ever overcome God's light. For God through Jesus, Psalm 119, the word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path, removing any darkness from our inside corners. Those places that maybe we are afraid to let anyone know are lurking inside. When we turn on God's light, Jesus, we are set free to be genuine, authentic, whole persons created to display the hope of Christ in the world. There's a beautiful Facebook post, and it's a picture, and there's a moon. And the caption is, "Look, I left the light on for you." That's beautiful. The light of hope in Jesus Christ has no limits and is ever living and more abundantly alive than we could possibly imagine. And God's desire is always, has been and continues to be, leading us from darkness into light. The hope that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of darkness, on them the light has shined. And remember, this message of hope, again, is set against the darkness of people under siege from other nations and from their own spiritual darkness. The divided kingdoms of Israel and Judah are in big trouble. In the areas of social justice, the poor being oppressed, orphans and widows are being neglected, idol worship is making a comeback, military aid was being sought from pagan nations instead of relying as they had in the past on God. And they weren't getting it, despite Isaiah's constant warnings. Which actually reminded me of climate. We're hearing all these voices, right? And I'm not too sure we're getting it. We may be getting it. I'm not sure powers that be are getting it. But because of God's everlasting kindness and mercy, tenderness and gentleness, God encourages his people. God, through Isaiah and other prophets, speaks his words, hoping to break through and touch all hearts, saying, "Return to me. Make me the focus and center of your worship. Let me transform you gradually, lovingly. Then you will know that I am the Lord, and those who hope in me will not be disappointed." The vision of hope is God's promise to come to our rescue, to help us, telling us that despite our misgivings, our fears, our doubts, our anxieties, God has it under control. He's left the light on. He's on the move. Things will change for the better, not on a whim, not on a wing and prayer, but real change. And for Christians, the difference, the revolution and movement of God is in the coming of the Messiah. The arrival of God's Son changing the world, changing lives, and making a difference in all of God's people. Jesus is on his way. And his coming will set into motion a chain of events that alters reality. Jesus entering into human history to end the oldest and most tragic battle of all times, the war between humans and God. In these last days, Isaiah is referring to are the ones we're living in right now. The mountain of the Lord's house, the temple, will be an important place. For the temple is now the church, the gathered people of God. And the church will be raised above all other hills, Isaiah writes. This is a poetic way of saying that God's church, the gathering of God's people, will be blessed. And the most amazing thing about this mountain, the church, is the streams of people flowing into her. Normally, streams flow down mountains, but these streams flow up and into. And they are not streams of water, but streams of people. Come on, God says, come on, let's go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and we may walk in his path. We, as the people of God, are guardians of this Advent message of hope. We are the keepers of the good news that the light of hope, the peacemaker, the joy bringer, and the lover of souls is here, living within us. We have been entrusted with the details of the greatest love story, the gift given for all humanity to open. The love story of a baby named Jesus who brings light into darkened hearts, peace into broken love, life, and replaces despair with joy. Men and women ceasing their external and internal warring when the light of hope leaps up within them, right out of the darkness. After all the striving and praying and agonizing, the truth is that somehow, in a way that we cannot begin to understand, the day spring from on high does visit us, bringing hope when we are immersed in the depths of our personal darkness, bringing light when we walk through the darkness of the shadow of death, and guiding our feet into the way of peace. Maybe take this promise with us throughout the days of Advent, that Jesus comes to bring reconciliation, turning us around and back to the one who loves us and declares our creation good. God and sinner reconciled. Advent is a time of preparation and heart searching. It is a time to face up to those parts of our lives that are not hopeful. This is a time when God challenges you and I to walk in the light of God's truth. God says, come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. If there's conflict, ask for peace. Ask. If there's sadness, ask for joy. And where there is hatred, let us sow love. Ask the Lord for the love of a baby. Born in Bethlehem, to forgive us and bring us to our senses. Hold fast and keep close and treasure the truth that God has the ability to transform any situation, no matter how hopeless, into one of hope. And our part is to trust him and wait for the answer, to keep hope alive, to sing the song without the words. You don't need a ton of hope to get you through difficult situations. A sliver of hope will work. And hope doesn't necessarily mean changes will occur overnight. And Paul, the working pastor, writes, be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. Faithful. And we may go through periods of tough times, but hope will get us through them to keep us from giving up. When the world sees you and I walking in God's light, speaking the truth of God with actions as loudly as words, and with hearts expressing kindness, forgiveness, patience, gentleness, and self-control, then we are beacons of hope for the lost, the unloved, and the seekers. And we await the coming of the Messiah, and we have it in this first candle. that shines in the darkness. Let this represent the light of Christ burning inside each one of us, shining out so the whole world can know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come as King. Rule in our hearts, come as love. Rule in our minds, come as peace. Rule in our actions, come as power. And rule in our days, come as joy. Amen.